I want you to turn back to the scripture which Brother Fitzer read, Isaiah 55. I'm going to bring a brief message tonight before we celebrate the Lord's table. The subject of my message is abundant pardon. Now, while he was reading, I hope that you noticed four or five things. They are of particular importance from this passage of Scripture. The first one, found in verse 1, tells us this: the gospel of mercy is free. The gospel of mercy is free. In the second verse, I hope you noticed this. I did. I want to speak on this just briefly. How foolish it is for us to spend our time and our effort on that which satisfieth not the soul. How foolish it is. Christ compared with others. Then the third thing in verse 3, the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to the ear is vital to faith. Hearing and believing are inseparable. And then the fourth thing we're going to look at is a Savior has been provided, a Redeemer. And then I'll close with abundant pardon. Now, the first thing in verse 1. In verse 1, the little word H-O is used. Ho. Ho. And this is not the prophet speaking. This is God speaking. This is the Lord of glory speaking. And he cries out in a general call. No one's name is called. No nationality is designated. He just cries, ho, stop where you are. Stop and listen. Stop and heed what I'm about to say. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, ho, if you're broke, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. This is a general call. This is a call to all men, all nations, all tribes, all tongues, all kindreds, all people, ho. God has a message for you if you can meet two requirements. First of all, if you're thirsty, everyone that is thirsty, come. This is a spiritual thirst. This is addressed to those who have sin and know it, who are in need and know it, who long for communion with God, who can say with David, as the hart or the deer panteth for the water brook, my soul pants and thirsts for the living God. I've got a thirst for God in a dry and weary land, a thirst for the living God. My soul panteth for the living God. Ho, everyone, anyone who has a thirst for righteousness, a thirst for fellowship with God, a thirst for communion with God. That's the first requirement. And the second requirement is this. You've got to be broke, spiritually bankrupt. You've got to be able to say with Toplady, in my hands no price I bring. This is spiritual bankruptcy. Those who have no righteousness, no goodness, no merit. Ho, everyone, here is good news to the thirsty. Here is good news to the bankrupt. The Scripture says when they had nothing to pay, absolutely nothing to pay, he freely forgave them. Come to the water. Christ is the water. Come and buy wine and milk without money. He's the milk. He's the bread. He's the wine. Come find in him all you need without any payment on your price. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the mercy of the Son of God, the redemption of our perfect sacrifice is absolutely free. Ho, everyone that's thirsty. Ho, everyone that's broke. Ho, everyone that's weary and heavy laden. Oh, everyone that's bowed down by sin, come to the water. It flows freely. Now, verse 2, and here's a question asked. Wherefore, or why, do you spend money? And the word here is more than money. Why do you spend time? Why do you spend your strength? Why do you spend your opportunity in reading and hearing and listening to false doctrine? Huh? Why do you do that? Why do you listen to that which is not bread? Why do you labor, spend your money for that which is not bread, that which can never satisfy, that which can never meet your need? The law, reformation, ceremonialism, decisionism, all these are presented as bread, but they're not bread, they're but chaff. These will not help you, they will hinder you in your quest for food. Why do you do it? Why do you spend your time and your opportunity and your strength in pursuing that which can never meet your need? And look at the next line. And your labor, why do you labor for that which will never satisfy? And eat that which is good. Hearken unto me and eat that which is good. No peace can come to the sinner's heart unless it's sought in the right person. No rest can be ours in false refuges. No joy is lasting but that which comes from Christ and His righteousness. Come to me and eat that which is good. Turn with me to John chapter 4. In the fourth chapter of John, verse 14, our Lord is talking to the woman at the well. And He said to her, speaking of Jacob's well, in verse 13 of John 4, whosoever drinketh of this water shall continue to thirst. Keep on thirsting. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Christ satisfies the thirst of the sinner's heart and keeps on satisfying. Christ's blood cleanses and keeps on cleansing. Christ can satisfy and keep on satisfying. Christ can intercede and keep on interceding. For the Scripture says, He ever liveth to make intercession. We can find some intellectual enjoyment or even religious enjoyment in these things that are presented, but we can find no satisfying bread in them. That's what He's talking about here. Why do you spend your time and your effort and your opportunity pursuing that which you know can never effectually satisfy? Why do you spend your labor for that which can never bring you peace and never bring you joy and never bring any rest into your heart? I'm the only one who can do that, He said. My peace I give unto you. Come unto me and find rest. Rest in Christ, in a person, in the Savior. Now the third verse, the importance of hearing Christ. He says in verse 3, incline your ear or bend your ear in my direction. Bend your ear in my direction and come unto me. Incline your ear. Come to me. Tune out the other voices. Tune out these other sounds and tune your ear to Him who is that prophet. Now, I want you to look at a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 18. In Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, I have referred to this scripture hundreds of times in my preaching. I have referred to that prophet of whom Moses wrote. Now, I want you to look at that scripture, Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. Moses is speaking here to Israel, and he says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. Now hold that right there just a minute. Our Lord says here in verse 2 of Isaiah 55, hearken unto me. Now incline your ear, tune your ear, bend your ear in my direction. Cut out all these other voices and these other sounds and hearken to me. Now look back at Deuteronomy 18. Verse 16. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. These people stood at the foot of Sinai, and they said, we don't want to see that glory and that cloud and that power and that fire again. Don't let God speak, lest we be consumed. And God said, all right, I will raise up unto you a prophet. He'll reveal God to you. He'll reveal the Father to you. Now you listen to him. I'll raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, Moses, and I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Now our Lord Jesus Christ said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. I speak the words that the Father gave me. I've come to bring his message. The works that I do are not my works. The words that I speak are not my words. They're the Father's words. So here's the one we're to listen to. We are to incline our ears. We are to bend our ears in his direction. We're to tune out all other voices. We're to hear him speak. The Father said, this is my beloved Son. You hear him. Now turn to Matthew 13. This is an important scripture right here. Matthew chapter 13. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, reading verse 15 and 16. Our Lord says in Matthew 13, 15, this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, they see, and your ears, for they hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our Lord kept saying, if any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. In other words, you will be blessed in proportion as your heart and your ears are open to receive God's Word. Now, some people find the Word of God uninteresting because they're not interested in it. Some people read the Word of God to find fault, and they'll find plenty with which to find fault. Some people come to the Word of God with a hunger, and that hunger satisfies. Some people will come to the Word of God with a thirst, and that thirst is met. Blessed are your ears, they hear, and your eyes, for they see. Our Lord says, incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul will live. Your soul is not going to live unless you hear him speak. Hearing and faith are inseparable. Listening to the voice of Christ and believing Christ are inseparable. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not, H-E-A-R-D, heard? Look at the next line in this verse. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. If you are among those blessed ones who can see his beauty, his glory, his grace. If you are among those blessed ones who can hear his voice, hear him speak, then you are among those blessed ones with whom he's made an everlasting covenant. You mean, preacher, that, you know, most of us are so simple-minded. The reason we have such a hard time with God's Word is we try to reach up and bring God down and make him like ourselves. And we have the idea that, and folks have this idea, that that when a preacher comes and preaches the gospel and a man hears it, then God writes his name in the Lamb's Book of Life. When a man comes, preaches the gospel, a man believes it and receives it, then God makes a covenant with him. And then others of our sovereign grace brethren believe that when you imply that a man must hear the gospel to be saved, that you're doing away with the everlasting covenant. That's almost what it sounds like here. God says, if you turn your ear in my direction, and you'll listen to me, and you'll come to me, I will make with you an everlasting covenant. That seems to be what he's saying. But what he's saying is this. If you are among those who hear, if you are among those who see, if you are among those who believe, I've already made with you an everlasting covenant. I've already founded on the sure promises of God. They're everlasting. And carrying with it the sure mercies of David. We're not talking about King David here. We're talking about the Son of David, the Messiah. Now turn to Romans chapter 8. In Romans the 8th chapter, begin reading with verse 29, I believe it is. Verse 29. For whom, Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. And how does he call them? Huh? How does he call these people whom he foreknew? Whom he predestinated? How does he call them? He calls them through the Word of God. That's how he calls them. He doesn't call them in an audible voice. He doesn't call them with a streak of lightning. He doesn't call them in the wind somewhere. He calls them through the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And those whom he calls, he justifies, and whom he justifies, he glorifies. Verse 3, the importance of hearing the true gospel. Our Lord says, hold up there just a minute. Hold. Everyone, not indiscriminately, everyone that's thirsty, spiritually thirsty. If you haven't found that which satisfies, if you haven't found that which meets your need, if you haven't found that which gives life, I'm talking to you. And if you don't have anything to buy it with, if you're stripped naked, your foundations are gone, and your pockets have holes in them, and you're spiritually bankrupt, hold on there just a minute. Hold on. I've got good news for you. I've got plenty of water and plenty of milk and plenty of wine. You're welcome to it. Just come on. Don't bring anything with you. Just come on and sit down at God's table and fill your soul with the fatness of His glory and His grace. Why do you spend your time and your effort and your strength and all that you have feasting on those things that never satisfy, never bring peace, never bring rest? To your ear in my direction, Christ said. Bend your ear my way. You hear. You listen to me. And your soul will live. You listen to me. And here's the reason. Because verse 4, because the Father hath given him, not his church, him. Not his table, him. Not his minister, him. Not his law, him. God hath given him for a witness. God is still speaking here. This is an act of the Godhead, whereby he appointed Christ as the mediator. Christ, God hath given him as a witness. Now, this word witness, turn to John 18. And this is a scripture that I circle in red. I want you to listen carefully to it. In John 18. Now, brethren, in John 18, verse 37, it's not so important that people hear and remember what I say. It's not so important that they hear and remember what the Baptist Church stands for. It's not so important, no, so very important for men to read our books and hear our logic and arguments and reasoning. But it's mighty important that they hear Christ, hear Him speak. Now listen to Him. And Pilate said, verse 37, John 18, are you a king? art thou a king? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth will hear my voice. We're looking for some sheep. We're looking for some sheep. We're looking for those that are of the truth. How are you going to recognize them? They'll hear his voice. Another shepherd they will not follow. Another voice they will not listen to. That his true sheep know the difference. Lady said not long ago that Brother Mahan and Oral Roberts were her favorite preachers. Now, there's no similarity to what we're preaching. No similarity whatsoever. There's something wrong with a person that cannot distinguish between the voice of grace and the voice of works. When somebody says to me, Oh, I like all the preachers, I immediately know they're not one of God's sheep. Because a person that cannot recognize the gospel, cannot recognize the voice of Christ, and another voice, something's wrong. Our Lord said, Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Hears my voice. There are two marks of a believer, of a sheep of Christ. Christ said, My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And they follow me. They're branded on the ear and on the foot. They hear his voice and they walk in his way. And that's what he's saying. I have given him, I have given Christ for a witness of God's love to sinners, a witness of God's righteousness fulfilled in his obedience, a witness of God's justice satisfied in his blood, a witness of himself, his fullness, his deity, his perfection, a witness of his resurrection, a witness of his second coming, a witness of his eternal glory. Christ is that witness. And a leader and a commander. Christ, old Barnard used to say, is the commander-in-chief. He's the commander-in-chief. As a shepherd, he leads his flock to pasture. The Lord is my shepherd. As a guide, he leads his flock to glory, for they know not the way. As a commander, he reigns over them, and they obey his word. To thee, my shepherd, my Lord, a grateful song I raise. Oh, let the feeblest member of thy flock attempt to sing thy praise. While my Redeemer's near, my Shepherd and my Guide, I'll bid farewell to every fear because all my needs are well supplied. And dear Shepherd, if I stray, my wandering feet restore, and rule over me with thy watchful eye and let me roam no more. Jesus, my Shepherd, my Brother, my Friend, my Prophet, Priest, my King, my way, my life, my joy, my all, except the praise I bring. Ho, everybody that's thirsty. Ho, everybody that's got no money, spiritually poor, bankrupt, utterly broke. Come on to the water. Christ is the river of water in a dry and thirsty land. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you run after that which satisfieth not? Why do you chase after that that's nothing but chaff, that's disguised, imposter, going under the name of bread? Incline your ear to me and hear, and your soul will live. Because I am his witness. For this cause came I into this world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And I'll tell you this, everybody that's of the truth will hear my voice, he said, and they'll follow me. And they'll follow me. And the last point I wish to present is found in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And God will have mercy on him. God will have mercy. Isn't that what we want? Mercy. Guilty folks don't want justice. They want mercy. Folks that have sinned against God don't want justice. They want mercy. We don't want to bargain with God. We're beggars at the back door who dare not in boldness step up on God's porch, but rap on the porch, stand with our hats in our hands, and beg for mercy. You know, I've often said, I grew up down in the deep South. There was a picture going through my mind then when I was talking about that humility. I don't blame black people for rebelling. I expect if I was black, I'd already be in prison or executed for killing some white people. But I grew up down in the deep South, and back when I was a boy, I remember the way that the black people were treated. I used to see black people come to the... They wouldn't dare walk into the front yard of a white person. No way in this world would they ever walk up the front walk of any white person's house. If a black person came to your home, he always came to the back door. Never came to the front door. No way. And when they came to the back door, there was no way that they'd walk up on the porch. No way in this world. They'd never do it. I'm telling you the truth. They came to the back door and took their hats off in their hands and crushed their hats up against their chest and reached over and knocked on the porch floor. Never walked up the steps, never came across the porch, and never knocked on a door. They knocked on the floor. And whoever was in the house would open the back door and say, "What do you want, boy?" Now that takes a lot of humility. That takes swallowing an awful lot of pride. You say, "I've never done it." I probably wouldn't either. Got too much pride. But I'm telling you, that's the way that the guilty sinner approaches a holy God. He comes with his hat in his hand. He comes on stumbling, fumbling feet. He comes with deep humility. He comes knowing that he has no right, like the publican in the temple, to even lift his eyes to glory, but he smites his breast and he cried, "Oh God, give me mercy." And that's what he says here. You come and you'll find mercy. He'll have mercy on you and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, what does it mean to abundantly pardon? Here's what it means. It says, this is the correct and best translation. If you come to him, he will multiply to you his great, abundant, and plentiful pardon. He'll multiply. Multiply. He pardons all sorts of sinners and all sorts of sin. A man was put to death in the 17th century, and as he went to the gallows for his faith, he cried, "Oh, he is the great forgiver. Oh, he is the great forgiver. Oh, he is the great forgiver." And they couldn't get him to stop. And he kept on until they executed him, crying, "Oh, he is the great forgiver." The abundant mercy of Christ is abundant because of the attribute from which it springs. His mercy has no limit. "Thy mercy, O God," David said, "is great above the heavens. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. His mercy endureth forever." That's reading, it's abundant because of the source. And then secondly, his mercy is abundant because of the means by which it was purchased, the body and blood of Christ. The great atonement made at Calvary, the perfect righteousness of his obedience, the intercessory work of our great high priest, the unchanging power of God's Holy Ghost. It is abundant mercy and abundant grace because of the terms of it. No hard, impossible conditions are set forth for me to meet. All God says to me is, look and live. All God says to me is, ask and you shall receive. All God says to me is, knock, you'll open. All God says to me is, believe. Everything's yours for believing. And then last of all, it is abundant because of its fullness. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Past, present, and future. Original and actual. All transgressions. You see why he asked that question, why in the world are you wasting your time listening to that, following that, running after that, which never satisfies? Why do you labor for that which can never meet your need? Tune your ear to me, and you listen to me, and you hear me, and your soul will live, and I'll make with you an everlasting covenant, because I'm that witness, and that for this cause came out of this earth, to bear witness of the truth, and everybody that is of the truth heareth my voice. And everybody heareth my voice is of the truth. And everyone with whom I've made an everlasting covenant will hear it. And everyone that hears it, I've made with him an everlasting covenant. Our Father, bless the word. How grateful, how thankful that thou hast given us ears to hear and eyes to behold both the voice and the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. Use this message to accomplish thy purpose for the good of every hearer, for Christ's sake. Amen.